Jim Croft mit Shadowlands. Auf Flux FM am Dienstagnachmittag. Unser Lieblingsschotte aus Berlin. Er spielt am Samstag ein Konzert unter der Überschrift An Evening with Jim Croft in der Baumhausbar. Und jetzt ist er bei uns im Studio. Wir quatschen nochmal über seine Reise nach Lesbos, die dort gesammelten Erfahrungen und die Crowdfunding-Aktion A Boat for Sarah, die im Anschluss an seinen Trip ins Leben gerufen wurde. Wir finden heraus, wie diese Erfahrungen ihn als Mensch vielleicht veränderten. Wir quatschen über Artivism, Live-Aufnahmen und vieles mehr. Er hat außerdem Ben Barrett mitgebracht, sodass ich gleich zwei Menschen Hallo sagen darf. Ich sage Hallo Jim und Hello Ben.
Hello, great to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. How are you doing, my man?
Very good. It's been a lot of work trying to get this tour together.
Yes.
And so, as usual, is there ever enough time in life? It's going down right to the wire, to the last moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. So you're still organizing a few more gigs, or
editing the films, the six short films.
Yes.
From the journey this year, and of course the music, and the films take so much time that it's actually the music that gets put onto the back foot. So I'm desperately trying to catch up with getting the songs rehearsed enough.
So when you're touring right now, you're showing the bits and pieces that you filmed, and then you play a little concert afterwards.
Yeah, well, no, it's a very sort of interactive multimedia format, in that there's six short films, 5 minutes long, and then in between a couple of songs, a little chat, drink a Hefeweizen, mm-hmm. of course, because it's still a rock and roll show, mm-hmm. but it's very interactive, and people are welcome to ask questions or to raise their own points or react to the film. So it's more a conversation than an evening with, in a way.
Okay, cool. You've always traveled the planet to get inspired for your own music. Four Journeys, number three, you traveled to Lesbos. People already know about that because we've talked about that mm-hmm. right here on this very station. You've traveled to Lesbos and you looked at the situation refugees mm-hmm. were in on that island. And then something crazy happened. Actually, you saved a young girl's life, kind of.
Well, I mean, that would be to paint it in very dramatic pictures. But the reality is, as you know, it doesn't matter whether it's in the Mediterranean at the moment or in the Aegean, particularly last year, but also still going on, that it's not a crazy moment. It's something that happens over and over. Yeah. But of course, when you're there yourself for the first time, it's a potentially life-changing experience. Yeah. And that's certainly what a lot of the volunteers that I met had, this similar experience, because you kind of can't quite fathom the sort of how desperate and dark it is, and you know, until you're there. And that was one of the reasons that I went. It was to sort of get out of this passive ingesting and to really want to go and have a look with my own eyes and react to it on a primal level.
Yeah. And so that travel or that trip to Lesbos, that has inspired you for Journeys number three, for songs like Sarah on the record, mm-hmm. and for a crowdfunding campaign called The Boat for Sarah. You collected some money to actually buy an old boat, rebuild it, fix it up to make it save some refugees. Or
well, it was actually built from the ground up.
Cool.
So, you know, sort of, and I raised about 19,000, and the ProAmaid, which is the rescue team that I'm working with, Spanish bomberos, and they,
firemen, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they raised about 12. So the boat's built, and the next challenge is to get the engines and the electronics. So that's the next stage, and that was all taken care of. But unfortunately, there's been a complication with that. But it's like any project; it you know, when it's independent, doesn't matter whether you're an independent artist or whether you're an independent search and rescue company. There's always a new challenge to face. But you know, the project's going forward, and they are committed to their work, and an amazing team.
I once was visited by the old school hip hop crew called Dead Press. I don't know if you remember the Dead Presidents. Yeah. And they told me about a word that they kind of made up, which is a combination of the words artist and activist. They say that they themselves are artivists.
Lovely, yeah.
Yeah, I think I think it's a nice description mm-hmm. of combining arts and activism, mm-hmm. something that you obviously did with your last projects. Mm-hmm. And you just told me that things like that can be a life-changing situations or life-changing moments. Has your life changed since you went to Lesbos? Do you feel that you have changed as a person? Did your perspective change on things?
Oh, for sure. I think every time you put yourself on the line and open yourself up to a new challenge, there's a sort of catalyst or potential catalyst for growth. And of course, if you find yourself in quite an extreme situation, even more so. But of course, the extreme situation wasn't for me. It was for the people who have had their lives destroyed and had to get onto these boats, knowing that several thousand people, with 4,000 last year, sort of died making that journey. So that's really the serious consequences. But of course, just to see it for the first time, it can't help but move and change you. And as you say, sort of activate you. And that was, I went down because I split my time up between film work and between music. Mm-hmm. And I went down in the role of a documentary filmmaker. That was what Basti and I's plan.
You weren't taking your guitar with you
That wasn't the plan. I mean, it turned out that music became a very central part of it. Mm-hmm. And that was the one of the sort of paradoxes, and it was the joy of, as you said, about sort of art and let's say activism, because mm-hmm. when you have a big enough experience, the question that comes up is, how can I contribute? What can I do?
Sure.
And I'd always thought, well, I don't want to go down there in a capacity of a musician, because it's about an exploration. It's not about a sort of something to do with going and playing songs or your own career. But then there was, during this experience happening, as you mentioned, with this girl, with Sarah, and also with becoming very good friends with this incredible independent search and rescue team, mm-hmm. there was this need for this boat. And then it was like, well, you think, actually, maybe I could do something here to contribute using the tools that I have. So it was a total education. And that was probably what I'd say was one of the life-changing experiences, was just to really step up in terms of what you can do in terms of your art and your life in your own small way to make a little contribution.
Mm. So do you keep in contact with all the guys who are still helping refugees in Lesbos and maybe some of the people that you've met who are fleeing from Syria or other places?
Very, very much so. So yes, both there's a lot of volunteers who I'm in contact with, and wonderful people, and a lot of people, of course, are still working there. Some of the people that I knew from Idomeni, which has now been evacuated, that was the camp in northern Greece.
Yeah.
They've all gone and to Thessaloniki, and they're working with the refugees, because of course all the refugees that were evacuated from Idomeni are now in other camps in Greece, and you've got 48,000 people in these very rundown, crappy areas and still in tents and so on. So there's an awful lot of need still. And of course, yes, and became friends with some refugees along the way, and some of have very happy stories and have made it in to reunite with their families in the Netherlands or in Germany, and are very happy. But there's other people that I'm in contact with on Facebook, and they are still in these crappy camps, sort of forgotten by the EU and the central body of European politics. And it's that kind of thing where you shut Idomeni down because all the press eyes of the world are looking at it, but then you put them into these smaller other areas, out of sight, out of mind. But you're talking 48,000 people in Greece, and it's an enormous weight on the Greek people and economy as well, because of course they've got their own problems as well.
But that's true.
One of the things that I learned was just to see this insight with how wonderful the Greek people were, how kind they are. And that was really something very special to experience. And that was something I learned from a lot as well.
Yeah, cool. I think it's a great thing that you went there and that you've gone there and visited the places and had a look for yourself, because that's what not too many people do. And you've realized that it's not a group of people, it's a group of individuals, right? It's a group of people with a story for each one.
Well, very well said. And this is exactly the point that I'm trying to put across on the tour with the short films, which is starting on Thursday. the reality is that most people have got children or have got a full-time job, and even if they want to get up and go and look for themselves, they just can't do it. And that's we've all got our real lives. Now the thing is, I'm, as an independent artist, as a freelance person, I had the opportunity, but what I really wanted to do was to bring back the experience so that other people who are interested or thinking about their own lives or just want a deeper experience to have this experience of seeing it for the first time themselves could see it through their eyes, my eyes being their eyes. So that's the invitation. It's really to have a personal look themselves.
Yeah, and maybe that's the strength of an artist in comparison to a politician or a journalist. But we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Let's listen to another song of yours. Here's Jim Croft nochmal mit dem Redemption song.
Redemption.
No,
just Redemption, baby.
I was joking.
It's not sold as much as the Redemption song, I'll tell you that much.
Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. Now let's listen to that song and then we talk a bit more right here on Flux FM. Jim Croft mit Redemption auf Flux FM, ein Auszug aus der Journeys 3 LP, die in nur 48 Stunden aufgenommen wurde. You've recorded that album super fast in 48 hours.
Well, it was. I've got some very talented guys that I play with that, they make me look good.
Yeah, they make you sound good as well.
Oh, that's cool.
We found all the producers with the most stamina.
Well, exactly. We would so much. I mean, it was an amazing experience because everyone contributed their time for free, and the album all went towards raising this money. But it was also just an incredible creative experience because these musicians coming from all over the place, American producers and German bass players. Oh, sorry, Lucas, you're actually Australian. Austrian. Oops, I'll be in trouble. Guys in the Czech Republic and Germany.
That's how fast it goes.
England, Scotland, and everyone was just in there contributing. And everyone, I think it's that thing when you have that pressure, it raises everyone's game, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's how diamonds are made, under pressure.
Under pressure.
A lovely analogy. Yeah.
Thank you. I was working on that for years.
I'm really glad you said that. I'm glad you used that metaphor.
No, but it must be freeing to not look at the details too much, to be like, to be finished in 48 hours. Play that guitar once again. Oh. I don't mind if there's a little mistake in there. Let's just go for it. It must be freeing as a musician.
Next time, can you produce?
It's the right note. I mean, that's the thing. You have to do it.
Yeah.
But it's the most freeing thing is you have to roll with your imperfections.
Yes.
You have to allow mistakes to be on there. And like, when did rock and roll get so sanitized and boring? So it was so liberating.
No, that's what I love about the record that we just, the recording that we've just listened to, Redemption. It sounds so alive. You can really feel the atmosphere that was in the studio and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was live. So I was there howling away trying to remember the lyrics, and Ben was there with his huge beard conducting the orchestra. and it was just a joyous moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, cool. Absolutely.
Would you record like that again? Because I think you can basically use that experience for another record.
For sure.
I think it's just the way to go, isn't it? Yeah,
especially if Blackbird give us the studio again.
Yeah, this amazing studio, Blackbird. They don't make studios like that anymore.
Yeah, that's it.
No, I really think, especially nowadays when music, you said it, sounds more and more sanitized and people quantize their music until their songs are dead,
Completely. And I'm so glad that you said that, because it was this thing, we made it in 48 hours and we sent it out and it was like, it's not about reviews or, I mean, I'm proud of, very, very proud of the songs. I'm very proud of the recordings. But I thought, is it too imperfect and, with little blotches all over the place?
It's lovely, but just because of that. Yeah. All those new school songs, you listen to them for 5 times and be like, can I know the song right now? Because it's been quantized to death. It's boring, actually. And after you've listened to it for 5 times, you'll be like, okay, I know the song now. I'm done with it. But if you listen to an old Marvin Gaye recording where they recorded the stuff without a click and you can hear him stomping his feet in the back while singing, you can listen to that for 1,000 times.
Absolutely.
And then you'll be like, there's a little mistake in there. And then you go look for another one for the next few 1,000 times.
But he was actually one of our reference points, and actually on the
I should produce the next record.
on a House of Many Colors. I think Ben, like, you know, a bit like Marvin Gaye, played a bunch of guitar solos, and then we just put them all up at the same time. I was like, yes, boss. And it sounds absolutely, but it, we listened back and it was like, oh, what?
Yeah, cool.
Like this, you know, panning them.
That sounds so good to me. That really sounds good. One more thing. In an interview, you said that only art is kind of able to fill in the gaps between politics and journalism. That's what you kind of did with your films and with the music as well. That's what my guest that I had on before, Liam Young, was doing as well.
Sounds amazing.
Interested. Do you think that an artist is more, has more responsibility nowadays than in the past decades, or is it, is it just you and me that are thinking that way?
Oh, I think everyone is recognizing that, you know, my sort of teenage years were in the 90s, and the 90s were a fantastic time. And it was, you know, a lot of people call it sort of a post-history. But of course, you know, history then caught up with the world once again. And it is a dark moment at the moment. And there's so many different sort of challenges that we're being faced. And I do think it's a time for the arts to step up and try and bridge that gap a little bit.
Right.
Totally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when I was talking to Liam at 10 past 3, he told me that he does not only think that the arts have to step up a bit, but everybody has to step up a bit and think more responsibly about their actions, you know, think about what you're doing, what kind of consequences that has and stuff.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the events of the moment, America and Britain, says that for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When Marvin Gaye made What's Going On, there was a time of incredible conservatism that really needed to be overcome. And I fear that we need art that can send that message again now.
As a Scottish artist, you have to record the next What's Going On thing, talking about the Brexit.
Well, that's right, but no one can understand what the hell I'm saying.
Oh, man. My first interview ever, my first live interview ever was with Bobby Gillespie, and that was super hard to understand. What? I was sweating like I was the junkie, you know? I was like, did I really get what he just said, or am I making something up in my mind?
I bet that was very political as well, because he's always having a rant.
It was good, though. Yeah. It was good. So you did not only bring your acoustic guitar, you brought Ben as well. Ben, another acoustic guitar. So I want you to play us a little song before we give away tickets the show on Saturday.
Brilliant.
Which song are we going to be listening to?
Well, this is Try to Reach the Earth. 1, 2, 3, 4. And a place to go. Oh, though I got a hand to hold. No, I got a lot to give. I cannot seem to get to it. What then? What then? What then? It teaches me what I am worth. I try to reach the sky to celebrate that I'm alive. I'm gonna get home. Happy that I get to live. There's a beaten road down which only some may go. Trying to reach the earth. It teaches me what I want. I'm trying to reach the sky. Celebrate that I'm alive.
touch the earth. It teaches me what I was. I try to reach the sky to celebrate that I'm alive.
Craft Live! Our Vlux FM featuring Ben Barrett and
lead guitars and in the harmony vocals. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Ben, for visiting.
Thank you, man.
Have great fun at Baumhaus Bar on Saturday.
Everyone is most welcome. Please come along. Drink some Hefeweizen.
With Jim Croft. It was a Turkish name all of a sudden.
Jim Croft.
No, Jim Croft. And Ben Barron are going to be on stage, and you're going to show bits and pieces of the stuff that you filmed on Lesbos and Idomeni.
Several films. And conversations and drinks and fun and rock and roll.
Great. Thank you for doing what you do, my man. Keep up the
Thanks
good work.
Thanks so much, man.
And as soon as you've finished some new material, you visit us again. At latest. I mean, you just visit us, you know. You know. We have an open door policy when it comes to Jim Croft.
Thank you, man.
But only
so
Jim Croft.
Except the
don't you just dare to show up here. If you're somebody else, then Jim Croft. Thank you. Bye bye.